This is the Pundits Podcast, sponsored by BetBright.
So Celtic went an entire domestic season unbeaten. League champions, League Cup winners, Scottish Cup winners. Quite unprecedented, really. Brendan Rodgers has made a profound impact at that club in every single way. Looking ahead to next season, though, where does Celtic go from here? Is it all about Europe now?
It's about the evolution of a team. What they've achieved this season was beyond anybody's expectations. I mean, to win a treble, to go domestic season completely unbeaten. But this is a team that's still very much in its infancy. I mean, that is the absolute truth of it. What they achieved this season should not have happened at this stage in the evolution of a Brendan Rodgers squad. They are only going to get better and better. What is imperative going into the next season is they retain all of their key players and strengthen in. There are quite a number of areas this team need to strengthen in.
Absolutely. I mean, it feels in modern football, everyone's always trying to get to the next thing and not letting people enjoy. But that's what Brendan Rodgers is like himself. He won't let them kind of rest on this season. He'll already, after maybe one or 2 days rest, he'll be going straight. And he'll already know, he'll have been thinking as they go along this run what he needs to do this summer. And it is a big summer for Celtic.
Yeah, I'm certainly not trying to say that they shouldn't enjoy their moment. You know, it's only just happened. However, you know, Dermot Desmond, before the Scottish Cup final, was talking about the Champions League last 16. Brendan Rodgers echoed those remarks after the Scottish Cup final. So it seems like all of Celtic is now gearing towards that next step in Europe. Is that a realistic aim, considering, you know, not so long ago under Ronnie Dyla, it seemed like this massive mountain for them to climb to even make it to the Champions League? And in the Champions League this season, while they certainly didn't disgrace themselves, they didn't win a game. So making the last 16 is going to be difficult, very difficult. Is it realistic?
Yeah, I don't see why not, because ultimately, the Champions League, when you get to that standard, when you're that standard of team, the margins in a lot of games can be very small. Now, the draw that Celtic got didn't help them, and I think the Mönchengladbach game, especially at home, should serve as a reminder of how far they've got to go, and the game in Mönchengladbach away should serve them as how close that they still are to getting to that stage. And those are the fine margins I'm talking about. It looked as if in Glasgow, they're a million miles away from this Bundesliga side. And then, not 2 weeks later, they went away and went, actually, you know what? They can do it. They've got the belief. They just need a few additions, as Grant mentioned, and a few positions, and they can reach that kind of level. And if you reach that level, they've done it before, there's no reason why they can't do it again.
Yeah, I mean, quite a lot of people say that when you just look at the kind of cold, hard facts of that Champions League table and no wins, bottom of the group, it's a lazy assumption. They played a Barcelona team who are just devastating and will be devastating against any young formative side, which is trying to learn a new way, a different way of playing, which they were at the stage they went to camp now. By the time we got them back to Glasgow, it was a different situation. They played Manchester City and drew both games. That game at Parkhead, Kieran Tierney's goal, Moussa Dembele's overhead kick, that was the kind of sparks of what this team can achieve with maturity, with experience. And to be able to go a domestic season unbeaten, I think just only adds, it shows the maturity is already there. Now, the qualifiers are a horrible, horrible proposition for any team, regardless of whether you're starting out, whether you've been together for 5 years. It completely comes down to the luck of the draw, which players are up to speed at that point. If you're playing a team from a league that's already halfway through their season, and if you're having to travel to the other side of the world to play a qualifier, there's all these kind of things for Celtic. But I think when they get to the group stage of the Champions League, if the draw falls kind, if the players are all still there, everyone's fit and they've added, this is a team that 100% can be challenging to go for the last 16.
Where do they need to add then? You mentioned there that if they've added well. Yeah. Where, I mean, you look through that team this season and I'm not sure I can pick out a player who, you know, needs to be replaced or a hole in that team. So is it about depth, or is it about actually going out and getting players who will take that team on even more and improve that starting lineup?
I think they're weak in central midfield, and I don't mean in an offensive sense. I think very much in a defensive sense. What we saw a lot in Europe was when they're having to sit in, or when they're trying to stretch the games themselves, just a Victor Wanyama type, someone in there who can properly turn the ball over when it's required, but can also provide that kind of defensive solidity. I think they're really missing it. Scott Brown pushed on this season, but was still required in a sense, if it wasn't near Beaton, required to fulfil that role, and it left gaps.
That was the kind of point. I mean, in the Champions League group, obviously Barcelona away, as Grant kind of mentioned, but they changed their shape there to try and combat that, and it didn't work. Then you had the Helter Skelter game at home to Man City. Mönchengladbach at home, again, when Brown was having to drop deep almost beside the centre-backs, that then left them a problem in midfield. They couldn't match up in midfield when they tried to push them on when they went a goal down. So, yeah, I think not only do they need a Victor Wanyama type to try and be able to be more dominant and more control of the game in midfield, also someone who can have an impact in set plays in the way that Wanyama did would be a big advantage. I still think they need another centre-back. Doesn't seem as if Svechenko's fancied
an experienced centre back, or it seems like Kolo Touré is probably going to leave the club.
I think ultimately they maybe need someone as close as they can maybe get to Van Dijk, I think, in terms to bring the ball out and maybe act as another midfield option to be comfortable in possession, maybe more than an experienced centre back in particular. But I don't think that would be a particularly bad move if they did decide to go for experience.
Yeah, if you look at the centre backs, I mean, both Jozo Simonovic and Eric Svechenko in particular can bring the ball out, but it's been able to be penetrative with the ball when they bring it out, and they both have this kind of indecisiveness about them that can put a team on edge.
Yeah.
Not quite Effie Ambrose levels of putting you on edge when he brings the ball out the box, but yeah, you're missing something. Whereas Dedryck Boyata is very much the defensive, you know, the final option.
And he's poor with the ball going forward.
Exactly.
We've seen teams even here allow him to have the possession.
The guys who replace Patrick Roberts, inevitably, unless Manchester City decide to sell or send them back closer to the end of the summer transfer window. For me, where Celtic really lack is up front, and it's with the plan B option. Moussa Dembele is Moussa Dembele, and if he stays fit and stays at Celtic, then he's going to be your first choice striker. We could sit and list all the things he brings to the team, but it's pointless. We've seen it all this season. I think Lee Griffiths is coming to the end of his time at Celtic. I looked at his Scottish Cup final performance, and he is a devastatingly good striker. He can get goals in the right situations. He scored goals in Champions League qualifiers. The Malmo win springs to mind. I mean, on his day, he can provide magic. Mm-hmm. But he's too similar in that sense to Moussa Dembele. He's the inconsistent version of Moussa Dembele.
Right.
What they need is someone who brings a different type of option to the centre forward position. And I don't mean a 6'5". You know, target man necessarily, just someone who can provide, I don't know, whether it's second man running or just a little bit of different philosophy on the game, that you can play him with Moussa Dembele in these situations if need be in Europe, because they're just too similar. And I just feel it's not Lee Griffiths' attitude or his ability that means I think he's coming to the end of his time at Celtic. I just don't think he's on the next level. I think he's progressed as far as his career will go and how good he'll get, and he's an exceptionally good striker. Please don't think I'm talking down Lee Griffiths. I just think as this team evolves, they need something else.
Is there a danger though if they bring in someone to be a plan B striker? It's almost like they're tacking that plan B striker onto the plan A. In my mind, I'm thinking about how Barcelona this season brought in Paco Alcacer to be a plan B, and whenever I've watched him this season, he plays as the second option, and it just feels like they've put him in the plan A, and it doesn't really work. So is it a much more fundamental development that Celtic need to have a plan B rather than just signing a player and that's the plan B, if you get what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I take Grant's point, because I think, you know, originally that's what they wanted Nadir Cevci all those years ago, to try and be that plan B, and that spectacularly failed. But it's someone who can change the dynamic of the attack, essentially. And how does that marry up, though, I think, with not only Lee Griffiths already being there, you know, they have to make a decision that way, but in what games do you purely have him for Champions League games, or is he at a plan B as well for domestically? I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I mean, when they look to bring in this winger in the summer, is it someone who can play both roles necessarily? And is there potentially a chance for Lee Griffiths to evolve
Well, because that's what they've almost had to do. The points where when Griffiths and Dembele were out, they almost played Patrick Roberts at times, and Scott Sinclair is a false nine at different points. And maybe it's someone who can work in that attacking three that they need that could maybe provide that plan B.
Is depth something they'll need for the Champions League as well? That always seems to be something that everyone talks about, European football, the demands of it, the rigours of it. You need a deep squad. Celtic don't have a thin squad by any stretch, but Rodgers largely stuck with the same starting lineup for the majority of the season, with the exception of a few here or there. Does he need to bring in players like, I mean, Johnny Hayes has been linked. Is he a depth option? He doesn't seem like someone to me who's going to, as good a player as he is, he's not going to command the starting place at Celtic at the moment.
No, I mean, I suppose it depends how much this European focus is going to take up next season. If maybe there's an acceptance that domestically it's very, very unlikely that incredible feat of an unbeaten domestic season is going to be repeated. So do you put extra emphasis on those European games and have players to provide that extra squad depth that they can then supplement you in domestic games so that you can concentrate and rest players for European games? That would seem to me to be quite a sensible plan, but I'm not sure if that's exactly, if Brendan Rodgers, you know, demanding nature is going to allow them to do that.
I think it's interesting. The stats might completely contradict me, but it felt a lot this season that they have depth, mainly young Scottish players in their squad. And Liam Henderson came on in Mönchengladbach, for example. Gary Mackay-Steven came on down in Manchester, and there have been guys in and around the team, but it feels like he doesn't really use that depth. Plucking numbers out of thin air, but maybe it's like a 15, 16, 17 players he constantly goes to, and he still has these core players, but they don't necessarily get much of a look in the Premiership. And if they are thrown in there, it's just to do a job rather than to push them on or for them to be viable options to become part of Plan A in the future. I don't see that changing. I think he doesn't want to disrupt the harmony by bringing in players who will have ideas above their station, not to be patronising, who think they can go on and be part of Celtic starting 11. I think he wants to keep a core of young players who might look to evolve, and just squad players who can come and do a job in the Premiership and can maybe give you a little unknown option on the bigger stage. I think he's got that at the moment.
Everyone at the club at the moment, and every fan, seems to accept that, as we say, the last 16 is the next natural step for this team. Obviously, Celtic would never go into a Champions League campaign saying this as an aim, but would the best possible outcome for them be maybe finishing third in a group, dropping into the Europa League, where that's a tournament they could realistically pretty much go all the way? I mean, we've seen Celtic, everyone talks about the comparison between the O'Neill's team and Rodgers' teams. I don't know if they're quite there yet, but they almost went all the way. Would that be the best option for them? Make the Champions League group stages, fall into Europa League where they can win the tournament?
Certainly not a bad second option. I think this is the closest I've seen to Martin O'Neill's team from a Celtic side. So in terms of skill, in terms of mentality.
In terms of balance.
In terms of balance, absolutely. Yeah. So if that were to happen, then absolutely. I think it would mean a hell of a lot to the fans because, you know, we've seen Ajax's revival partly through the Europa League this year. Celtic are more than capable of doing something similar. And I think that would generate a hell of a lot of excitement, as much maybe as the treble winning season could, if they could repeat that journey to Seville.
I think you were to ask any Celtic fan, anyone at the club, they would take that option you presented immediately. Champions League group stage, bring the cash in, a couple of good games. It's a bounty for players to want to join the club because they're a Champions League team, and then drop out and go on a run in the Europa League. I mean, it's a fantastic hypothetical that we're just assuming is going to happen here. But if you were to present that option at the start of the season saying this is what will happen, they'd absolutely bite your hand off. There's absolutely no doubt about it, because getting to the last 16 has a certain prestige to it. But we don't look back on that Neil Lennon team that got to play Juventus in the last 16 and say, well, that was their high point, but it doesn't go down in folklore like the team that got to Seville did.
Yeah, and then that could add to the next stage of the progression, which would be making this last 16 the Champions League more often.
Thank you for listening to the Pundits podcast, sponsored by BetBright. We'll be back again next week with another episode.